So Luke chapter 2 is one of those familiar Christmas passages. And it says, and it came to pass in those days there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus. I asked the kids in the Sunday school, my class this morning, what month comes after July? August. Who was that month named after? This guy. Yeah. Oh, what month comes before August? July. Who was that named after? Julius Caesar. Julius was before Augustus Caesar. And so when Augustus Caesar became Caesar and began to think he was pretty hot stuff, he decided, listen, I need a month, but I want one more day at least than Julius. And so that's why we got 31 in August. So this is Augustus Caesar. Here's the man. And the whole world must shake when he speaks, that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. I asked the kids this morning, do we have taxes today? You know what they said? To a man. Yes, we have taxes. So that Jesus might not be talked about around the house, but taxes do. So everybody's going to be. Joseph also went from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. What did that mean? He's directly related to King David. Matter of fact, if you read Luke's genealogy, you'll find out Mary was too. To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. They were terrified. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, as prophecy would tell us and inform us, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. A Messiah, the Messiah. And this shall be a sign unto you. You'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them in the heavens, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. That's a strange thing, isn't it? The Messiah is born. And God announces it to shepherds. Wow. And they came with haste. They found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the sayings which were told to them concerning the child. They told everybody about it. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told to them by the shepherds. You know, this morning we sang one of those great hymns of the faith written by Charles Wesley. Charles Wesley wrote about 6,000 hymns, I'm told. And some people call that the great golden age of hymn writing. You know why it was the golden age of hymn writing? Because it was awakening. The great awakening. God was shaking his church again. And that shook people's hearts and minds. And pens came out and they began to write of the glory of God. Wesley wrote 6,000 of them. And one of those was that song that we sang earlier, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. This is a great hymn of the faith. It's a great hymn of the faith because it contains biblical themes. You know, we have popular songs today, and I'm not trying to criticize these little ditties. We have popular songs today. Some of them are very good, and they're going to last. Some of them are just ditties. As soon as the radio turns off, that's going to be the end of them. But this had great content to it. Come thou long expected Jesus. Long expected. You know, that's an amazing thing, isn't it? They had prophets speak to them about the coming of Messiah. Here, there, yonder. Different ways, different means. And they should have been expecting a Messiah. And it certainly was not in their wheelhouse to think it was going to take that amount of time. God is patient, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Aren't you glad? Come thou long expected. These folks had it in the back of their minds. They just weren't ready. How many times has that happened to you? You knew that was the truth. You knew that was the thing. But it was back there someplace. And when it happens, you're what? Whoa! Surprise! The Cubs won the series! Surprise! Listen, the odds were getting in their favor. 108 years of never going to the pennant. One of these days, even a blind pig can find an acorn every now and then. Listen, it's back there, but we just don't think about it much. Born to set thy people free. Great theme of the scripture. Free from fears and sins, release us. You know, there are actually people that recognize that what they have done in their life and through their life is so despicable that they can't handle it themselves. Psychiatric units deal with that every day. I've done something so terrible, so bad, that I cannot even begin to think about forgiving myself, let alone someone else forgiving me. Israel's strength and consolation. This was the promise given to Israel by Almighty God. It was the promise of God to bring forth a deliverer, a greater than Moses is coming. Hope, though, of all the earth. Born thy people to deliver. Born a child in Bethlehem's stable in a manger. Yet he was king. Only God would come up with a plan like that. Can you imagine the shepherds out on the hillside watching their sheep? I'm sure that they were sitting around just thinking, let me see, Isaiah 53. Let me see, how does that go? No, they were bored stiff, I'm sure. The sheep were all basically bedded down. They had nothing to do but look up in the sky, and boom! The angels announced this to them. You know what I think perhaps would have been the first instinct by most of us if we had been a shepherd and we were asked to go see the king? Where do I bathe that? These guys were shepherds. Do you know what they smelled like? Sheep. Have you ever smelled a sheep? If you haven't, go out here in the countryside someplace. You don't have to get real close. Amazing. He came as a king, yet he was born in Bethlehem's manger, born to reign in us forever. Now that glorious kingdom. You see, Wesley did not want us just to focus our picture of Jesus in a manger. He wanted us to see the Christmas story in entirety. What that means to us in the big picture, but also in the minutia of a personal application. That's why it's great. Jesus is not only the desire of every nation, the Savior of the world, but Jesus is the joy of every longing heart. You know, someone has said many, many times, years and years ago, if you were the only one who would accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, Jesus would have died for you. Savior of the world, but Savior of you, if you'll have Him. He knows your name. Did you know that? He knows everything about you. He knows how many hairs you have on your head. Sometimes I say, and that's not hard for some of us. But he knows that. He knows you need a job. He knows your child is having a tough time at school. Someone is bullying you. Did you hear about that girl, 18 years old, that shot herself because of cyberbullying? I just don't, what on earth? Phone ringing off the hook all night, hours into night and day. You know what I would have done with the phone? I'd have threw it away. You know what I would have done with that computer? I wouldn't have turned it on. But then again, I'm not 18. And she shot herself in front of her family. God knows that crippling. God knows that hurt. He knows your heart. Jesus has the government upon his shoulders, but he was born to reign in every heart. You see, if we're not careful, we can miss the whole message of what these angels were telling the shepherds. The word gospel is a translation of a Greek word, evangelion. It's used 76 times in the New Testament as a noun. And you know what it's translated? Good news. It's good news. 54 times as a verb, which means to bring or to announce. You see, in that word is found also our English word that we get angel from, or messenger. The evangelion, the gospel, the good news. We're the messengers of that. Did you know that? I thought about saying this because it wouldn't be inaccurate. But knowing you and knowing me, it doesn't fit very well. You're the angel of that message. Well, let's just say messengers. We're better. That's easier for us to understand. You know, years and years ago, there were these five sisters here in Fort Wayne. Very attractive young ladies, actually. And one of our couples knew them, and they knew that they sang. And so they invited these girls to come over and sing for us. And so they actually sang two or three songs, but I remember one song that they sang. It's one of those kind of songs that's got very simple words. That's the reason I can remember it. But it's got a great message. These five young, attractive girls said, "Get all excited. Tell everybody that Jesus Christ is Lord. Get all excited. Tell everybody that Jesus Christ is Lord." On the third stanza, they came down off of the podium and they said, "Get all excited. Tell everybody that Jesus Christ is Lord." Keep singing. "Get all excited. Tell everybody that Jesus Christ is Lord." Can you guys say, "Get all excited. Tell everybody that Jesus Christ is Lord." Taylor, can you say that? "Get all excited." Let's join together. Come on. "Get all excited. Tell everybody." There we go. There we go. "That Jesus Christ is Lord." "Get all excited. Tell everybody." Jeff, "Get all excited. Tell everybody that Jesus Christ is Lord." Amen. Amen. Brother Don, "Get all excited." He can sing too. "Tell everybody that Jesus Christ is Lord." Uman, "Get all excited. Tell everybody that Jesus Christ is Lord." They sang that all over the church, and pretty soon the whole church was saying, "Get all excited. Tell everybody." Am I the only thing? "That Jesus Christ is Lord." That's the good news. But we say it like this. "Well, I don't want to offend you. You probably don't want my Bible that I'm wanting to give you. And I want to tell you something about Jesus, but I know that you're busy and you've heard it a million times. And so go ahead, do your shopping." That's how. No, 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 no. Get out. You see, those early disciples did exactly that. They got excited about the message, the good news of Christ, and they believed that they were commissioned by God Almighty. President-elect Trump is picking people for his cabinet. He's picking people for UN ambassador and all these people. And it's supposed to be a privilege to be able to serve in these capacities, isn't it? And I'm not trying to be silly, but Mr. Trump isn't God. And you may be picked to be a UN ambassador, and that's cool. That's good. But no, you've been picked by God to be his ambassador, a royal ambassador for the king, to tell the good news that Jesus has come to set his people free. Free from our sins and our fears. Free from the debt that we owe, that we cannot pay. Free in him. You know, if you went back, and I've said this a dozen times, and I enjoy, and some of those folks that come to Wednesday night, they're thinking to themselves, oh, he's going to say that stuff about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John again. He says that almost every other week. Yeah. Matthew gives us, he says what? What's the first? He says, this is the genealogy of Jesus Christ, who is the son of David, the son of Abraham. And then he gives us that genealogy. And of course, we don't want to read that. We want, well, let's go on to something else. Why is he doing that? He wants to tell us that Jesus is the promised Messiah. Do not miss this message. He's going to say it over and over and over again. In a thousand ways, he's going to reinforce that message. Mark says, this is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And then he goes right in to his gospel and presents Jesus as that perfect Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Luke, as well, comes to us and he gives us the story about how John the Baptist was born. And then he tells us a story about Jesus. And then he gives us a genealogy, doesn't he? Again, a genealogy. But Luke doesn't stop with Abraham. Where does he go back to? It's the first man. Adam, there we go. Goes all the way back to Adam. Why is he doing that? He's saying that Jesus is the Messiah. Most assuredly, he is the King of Israel. Most assuredly, he is the suffering servant who's going to take away the sins of the world. But in exactly that, he is the one who is the Savior, not just simply to the Jew, but of the whole world. And then, of course, John says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were created by him, and without him was anything made that was made. Where does he take us back to? The beginning. Because he wants us to see Jesus is not only the Messiah, not only King, not only the suffering servant that's going to take the sins of the world upon him. Not only is he the Savior of Israel and the Savior of the world. He's God in the flesh. God in the flesh. He came. The good news is that God has more grace in his heart than you have sin. He came from light to darkness. He came from splendor to squalor. Most of us don't know anything about squalor. Do you know that? There's lots of squalor out there. He came from purity into a world full of sin. But still, he came. He came. And not just anybody. But God himself robed himself with flesh, human flesh. God had sent the prophets and spoke to us. God had sent mighty men like Samson. He had sent holy men like Elijah. Isn't it amazing to go back there and read about Elijah? And it says these words. They come up and say, O man of God. Go back and read that. Do you stumble over that when you read that? I stumble over that. Because I've actually had people say, you know, Brother Mike, you're a man of God. I stumble over that. Because I think to myself, God sent these people. But the good news is that God put on flesh and came himself. I was always told, never tell somebody to do something you are not willing to do yourself. God was willing to do it himself. What is he like? This God who puts human flesh on. He is like a shepherd who has lost a sheep and goes out to find it. You don't have to have a PhD to understand that illustration. He is like a father who has a wayward son who takes his inheritance and blows it and ends up in the pig pen. And he goes home and the father welcomes him back, puts a robe on him and ring on his finger, kills the fatted calf. That's what he's like. That's what he's like. Jesus is the one who comes seeking sinners. He finds them up trees. Zacchaeus, come down. I'm coming to your house today. Don't you think Zacchaeus didn't have to come down? He fell down, just kabloop. He wasn't expecting that. He just wanted to see Jesus. He's not afraid to touch a leper. The lepers had to go around in that day saying, what? Unclean! Unclean! Stand back! Don't get close to me. Jesus goes up and touches them. He came to give sight to the blind. Someone has said, spiritually, there's no one quite so blind as those who will not see. But these people could not see, and Jesus gave them sight. And by faith, God can let you see what you can't see until you open your heart to him by faith. He come and he got a bunch of fishermen. Talk about shepherds stinking. Can you imagine what fishermen smell like? We got a little nephew. He's been working at the fish house there over in Destin for many, many years. Boy, that kid can clean fish. He is unbelievable with knives. Oh, man. And it's really good to know somebody that works at the fish house in Destin because they can get you some good stuff. How about jumbo shrimp? Now, that sounds crazy. A shrimp's small. Jumbo shrimp? How about jumbo shrimp that you can, you know, put on the bacon around them and put them on the, oh, man. How about getting some tuna? And I'm not talking about tuna in a can. I'm talking about a tuna steak. That guy can get you that kind of stuff. But listen, you don't want to ride to Destin with him to get the jumbo shrimp. You don't want to ride to Destin with him to get the tuna because you can't stand being in his car. Because you see, when he gets off work, he gets in there and sits down. And for 15 years, he's been getting off work every day and sitting down in that car. And when you open the door, whoa, it's 102 degrees outside. And it's, oh, man, Jesus came and got some fishermen and said, come on, guys, I'll make you fishermen. He talked to tax collector. I can't believe that. I wouldn't even, He called most of the folks from the bottom of the heap. Every now and then, a Paul, but mostly common. He talked to prostitutes. He talked to a criminal on a cross. Isaiah 53:6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. We just do our own thing. And the Lord God Almighty hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Isn't that amazing? That's the message, that's the good news. You have sinned, but God's got the remedy. You have sinned, and God has a gift for you. Total pardon. What a message. Yet we're timid in our presentation of it. You know, tonight at 6 o'clock, I invite you back for the Christmas pageant. It's going to be fun, and the kids will do a marvelous job. But, you know, that's not something that's unusual to churches. Churches do those kind of things. And it's not unusual to have children participate in the Christmas play somehow or another. And so this one particular church was having their Christmas play. They had Jesus in the manger, you know, a little doll baby down front in a manger. They had Mary, you know, in the little blue mantle. I don't know why we always put her in blue. Does anybody know why? I have no idea. Joseph, you know. And we always put Joseph, and he always has a white cotton beard, doesn't he? Isn't that amazing? I didn't know Joseph had that kind of thing. But anyway, and then, of course, we have wise men. We have all kinds of people there. We call those guys kings. Shepherds all around there. And then, of course, in this particular play, the children's choir were dressed up like angels. You see, they were the Along Galeon. They were going to tell the good news. And so you had all that group up here, right here on the floor. Everybody's ganged up. Kids are coming in all over. And they're singing the good news. And they're singing this exciting song. And you know, I've seen this happen a dozen times. Not this particular thing, but something very close to it. Isn't there always one little girl or one little boy who can't quite bring himself to join the group? They're feuding with their mom or their dad or their brother or somebody like that. They know the song. They're just not going to sing it. I'm not going to do it. And so they get up there and they're fidgeting around. They're doing something another. You know, every now and then somebody, I know this one little boy that was here at our church. He was scratching his behind, and one of the ladies in the choir thought that's not good for him to scratch his behind. So she came out of the choir and came up here and grabbed this young fellow and was going to tell him, don't scratch your behind. Guess what he did? Yeah. You remember that, Joy? She's the lady. So we have all these angels coming around, and we have all this stuff going on, and we have this one little girl. She's a tiny little thing. We have some tiny little things. A little girl, you know, and the angels are singing glory to God in the highest, you know, peace on earth, you know, goodwill to men. They're all singing all this stuff, and they're all gathering around, but she can't gather around. She can't get over there. You know, she's just a little small thing. She can't see Jesus where she's standing. And so she's trying to get over there. She's coming over here. She's trying to get over here. She can't see Jesus. And so they're singing out, and when they had a little pause, she said, I'd like to see Jesus. Listen, friends, you know what the world needs? They need to see Jesus. They might not know, but we need to let them see Jesus, don't we? This old world pours on the distractions, doesn't it? But we've got this wonderful message. It has nothing to do with poinsettias or trees or any of that stuff. I was just talking to Chris the other day about the decorations. And the church looks nice and all this. And isn't it always around the middle of January when we take all the stuff down? Don't you come in and go like this? Wow. Where's everything at? You know, everything got plain. You know, and if that's something that helps you, then fine. Excellent. But pray to God that He would give us a boldness at this time of year to turn these little programs on television. They're always talking about the reason for the season is giving. The reason for the season is love and all those kind of things. And the reason for the season is giving, God giving His Son. But they don't say that. They just stop at the giving part. The reason for the season is love. Yes, that's right. But it's not just love. It's the love of God being displayed in His Son. It should be divine excitement about who Jesus is. Because God's dealing with sin, our sin. Jesus lived like no other person. Wouldn't it have been cool to have been around a little bit walk around with him a little bit. I think it wouldn't be. He spoke like no one ever spoke. He died for sinners on the cross. He was raised again the third day, that we might be able to come into the very presence of holy, holy, holy God. Wow. And you know what? That's not the end of the story, though. That's Act 1. Act 2 is he coming again. Did you know that? He's coming again. You know, I was in South Korea when most guys were in South Vietnam. I praise the Lord I was in South Korea, because there wasn't anybody shooting at me in South Korea. There were a lot of guys getting shot in Vietnam. And I don't know why, but Vice President Agnew was on a victory tour of the Far East, I guess, or something. I don't know what he was doing. But anyway, he was coming to Osan. He was coming to Korea. Park Chung-hee was the president of South Korea. He was going to go to Seoul. He was going to meet the president of South Korea and exchange those pleasantries and do all that kind of stuff. You know, when I started hearing about that, months before he came, they started telling us, Vice President Agnew is coming to Osan. His plane is going to land right here on this runway. And we are going to greet him. And we are going to greet him in the best and the grandest style we possibly can. You will not come to work that day in your greens. You will come to work in your 1505s. Your shoes will be shined. You will have your teeth brushed. You will have your hair cut. All those kind of things. We went around for months picking up stuff around the base. I never liked smokers because of that. Got all these little butts everywhere. Do you know how hard it is to pick up a cigarette butt with your hand? You have to chase it all over the place. All over the place. We're cleaning, cleaning, cleaning. Oh, wait. Not only were we doing that, guess what the Koreans were doing? They were doing the same thing. They were cleaning up the country. They were going around policing up their area. They were cleaning up all the stuff. Matter of fact, you know, I said something about having my hair cut. We had the option of having it cut or not cut. It was a, you know, strong thing. You better have your hair cut and you better be sharp and all that kind of cool stuff. But, you know, Park Chung-hee was the president of Korea, South Korea. And guess what he told every male above 16 years old? Get your hair cut. That don't sound like democracy, does it? Well, that's what he said. And guess what they did? They got their hair cut. And that was, you know, there was a kind of a hippie thing going on at that time. Even the Koreans were into that. And guess what? If you're walking down the street in Seoul, which is the capital, of course, if you're walking down the street in Seoul and a policeman saw you, guess what he did? He escorted you to the nearest barbershop and he waited there till you got your haircut. It was free. You didn't have to pay for it, but you got your hair cut. What are they were dressing up the country for Vice President Agnew to come. I was on the flight line when his plane landed and all that kind of cool stuff. I was there. I was one of those backup guys. You know, something breaks down, you've got to come and help us. I was there. And all the guys left and all the dignitaries and all that cool stuff. They flew up to Seoul and Jolly Green had four Jolly Greens going to Seoul. What a thing. My friend Jack was up in Seoul. All our staff cars were up in Seoul to meet all these people. It was a big deal going on. Finally, the crew chief, the last one off the plane. Yeah, I'm here for you. He said, oh, good. He said, you know where we came from? I said, no, I have no idea. He said, well, we're in the Philippines. We're there, blah, 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 blah. He said, Sergeant Harris. I said, yeah. He said, this is going to be a gift from the Vice President of the United States of America. I'm thinking, oh, okay. All right. Probably a small envelope. with $100 bills in or something like that. Something, right? He went into the plane. He reached into the door. And he pulled out a pineapple. He brought it over and gave me this pineapple. I think he thought, from the look on my face, I'm confused. A pineapple? He said, this is a fresh pineapple, man. This will be delicious. He said, this is going to be one of the best pineapples you've ever eaten in your whole life. I said, I don't even know how to eat a pineapple. He said, well, take a knife, cut it in half. Cut the skin off and eat it like a pineapple you get out of a can. Oh, okay. Me and my buddy actually did take a knife, cut it on the flight line in half, peeled it off, and ate it, and it was not the best pineapple I ever had in my life. You know, they don't, you know, when you get them in the can, they put sugar in there. That juice, it didn't come with a pineapple out of the field. Oh, it was good, but, you know, anyway. Listen, isn't that amazing? The old world labors to get everything straightened up for the coming of the Vice President of the United States, who's going to give somebody a pineapple. I don't know if he gave him Pak Chung Hee one or not. I don't know. Jesus is coming again. He came the first time. He's going to come the second time. And you know what we're supposed to be doing? Getting ready. Getting ready. Getting ready. Wow. What if it was today? What if it was 4 o'clock this afternoon? You knew it. You had that little invitation. 4 o'clock. What would you do? You know, I suspect you would do something. Maybe first thing, you'd probably get down on your knees and on your face and confess those sins and cry out unto God for mercy. And then you'd probably think about that brother that doesn't know Jesus. And you get on the phone. And you think about that neighbor that you worked with for 20-some years and you never knew you were a Christian. You'd go see him or her. Wouldn't you do all those things? Because you see, he's coming. It came from the back of my... I knew that was going to happen one of these days. But now I know for sure it's going to happen now. It's going to happen 4 o'clock this afternoon. Oh, wait a second. Do not go out of here today and say, Pastor Mike said Jesus is coming at 4 o'clock this afternoon. I'm not saying that. I do not know. No man knows the days or the hour. Only the Father knows. But I do know this other part. We're supposed to get ready. We're supposed to be preparing the way. We're supposed to be doing the work, because we're what? Good news people. Commissioned by God Almighty. You say, well, not me. I'm just a... Nuh-uh. If you know Jesus as Lord and Savior, you're in that elite group. He's made you a royal ambassador. Father God, oh, that we would catch a glimpse of your glory. That we'd be like those shepherds. We'd say, let's go and see this thing that the Lord has revealed to us. Tell everybody. Tell everybody the good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Jesus can come in your life and transform that life. It doesn't have to be this way. The invitation is extended. The gift has been given. What God is waiting for is you to accept. Oh, that it might be today. Lord, we just thank you. Thank you. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.